Hello, everybody. It's been quite a week in merry old England, so I thought I'd have a bit of a ramble about it. Sort of a just a bit of a relaxed Sunday night ramble about Trump, May, and the current situation. So, I mean, the takeaway from me about all this was Trump's remarks on immigration and where Europe was going. So I thought, just dig into this a little bit and have a look at it, because I think there's a lot there. But I mean, let's just get straight to it. So the President of the United States comes to Britain, and right in front of the British Prime Minister, he says that mass immigration is destroying Europe. There's dark times ahead. He mentions terrorism. He says it's changing the fabric of Europe, and he says it's a sad thing, and it is. He said it was a shame, is what he said. And this is the rhetoric that we want from Trump. It's why we all supported him back in 2016. It shifts things massively towards what we want to hear. And I'll get more into that in a bit. But then in response to that, what Theresa May said in response to that was just absolutely pathetic. It was genuinely pathetic. It was the same bland technocratic soundbites, just waffle. Nobody believes it. I want to get into that a little bit as well. It's good for the economy, she said. It's good for and they make valuable contributions to our culture. And it's just this sort of anodyne, synthetic, globalist boilerplate tripe that they pump out. But let's just take that. So Donald Trump said, well, yeah, it's dark times ahead. He mentions terrorism and changing the fabric of Europe. And Theresa May responds to that with an economic argument. All right, I know it's bollocks. You know it's bollocks. We all know it's bollocks. But let's roll with it, because that's what our masters are telling us. We've got mass immigration because of economics. So let's, as they say, let's steel man the argument. Yeah. Let's go for it. Let's and I know the standard response now is for everybody to go running around digging out statistics on how immigrants are not contributing to the economy and everything like that. All right. Let's go with it. Let's just assume that they are, okay? Because Donald Trump mentioned terrorism, and last year we had terrorist attacks here. 22 dead in Manchester, mainly young girls. One of them was called, just to pick one out, Safi Roussos. I think she was about 6 or 7 years old. Little, lovely little white girl, blown to bits by second generation Muslim immigrant at Manchester Arena. So, I mean, if we're going to take this economic argument seriously for a little bit, I'm not going to get too carried away, because it's garbage. Well, let's just how do we quantify that then? Let's break this down, because if all that matters is the economics, which is what Theresa May's argument is, let's quantify it. Let's get into it. Let's pin it down. If the immigrant population increased our GDP by 5%, is it worth living in a police state with mass rapes and 24/7 surveillance, and every now and then a little girl gets blown to pieces at a pop concert? If we've got the money, is it worth it? Because I'd be saying, let's do without the money. Let's just be poorer. Let's just be poorer and live in a country where little girls don't get blown to bits by nail bombs. That's the end of the argument. And there is no economic argument, because you can't quantify everything in economics. I'd rather be poorer and live in a country which didn't erupt in mass murder from time to time sporadically. But the thing is, Trump knew her response would be pathetic. He knew that she's an idiot and she's crippled by political correctness. He also knew her response would alienate her still further from the average European watching the exchange. I'm just reading from a few notes that I've jotted down here. And that's who was speaking to. He was speaking to the people who brought him into power to say what he was saying. He was fulfilling his role. And he's speaking to all the pissed off white people who are watching the nations disappear before their eyes at the hands of technocratic, useful idiot goyim like Theresa May. So we know where Trump's coming from. We know who he's talking to. We know why he's saying it. He is the democratic process actually working. But who's Theresa May addressing? Who is she actually speaking this rubbish to? Who does she think she's listening to? Is listening to her? I mean, it wasn't even a base because she just stabbed them in the back a few days before with Brexit. And they've been shafted by 50 years of fake conservatism. It's only ever given way to the left, to the point where there's nothing left. There isn't actually a conservatism left. They've conserved nothing. And you see it because when you say, who was she talking to? Who was actually in her camp and supporting her? Well, you saw them. You saw them on the streets of London. It was all the trannies and the weirdos and the perverts. Grown men who should be laying bricks and pipes and building roads, prancing around London with dildos on their heads, proudly fighting the cause for commodifying humanity on behalf of central finance. That's where she is now. That's who she's supported by. And of course, all these trannies and freaks and weirdos, they don't even know that. They don't know where they've come from. They don't know where they've been. They don't know where they are, and they don't know where they're going to. Are like insects scuttling about on dirt, living only for the here and now. And that little bit of glow they get because the BBC and the Guardian and some lefty Facebook group has told them to go out and prance around like a pervert dressed as some sort of demonic transvestite wizard on the streets of London. This is the closest thing that the Conservative Party in Britain has got, but it isn't, of course. It's just globalist. It's just globalist. She's just Theresa May is just a puppet. And yet, despite it all, Theresa May and her masters, and the masters of all these weirdos on the streets of London, they can't even try and promote a vision of a better tomorrow. You can't, they've lost it. The globalists have lost the ability to actually put forward a positive vision of where we're all going, where we're all heading. It's not there. It's not there. And I know that it's not there because all they've got is brute force, hate speech laws, and terrorizing us, the native population. But you'll notice that Trump was talking about where we're all going to go with this. He was looking into the future, and he was giving us a grim picture of the future. He was scaring us. He's trying to scare people into action and say, well, I'm worried about it. It's a shame, and there's terrorism, and it's changing the fabric and everything like that. But Theresa May's response, she didn't actually try to counter that vision of the future whatsoever. She cited the past. She said Britain was always a nation of immigrants. Well, I mean, that's a lie as well. That's a load of rubbish. But they no longer have a positive vision of the future. They're losing ground in the present. It's chaos. And what they do is then rewrite the past to create a fake narrative of the past. It's completely made up. Nothing bears any kind of relation to a lived reality or any kind of authentic truth. There's nothing there. Even the past that they cite of Britain being an immigrant nation is lies. But again, Trump is looking to the future and saying, well, it's going to be dark. And Theresa May is looking to the past and saying, well, it's always been this way, and it hasn't. Trump's closer to the mark. Because if she was that confident in where this her globalism is going, why didn't she laugh in Trump's face and say and present the evidence? Wasn't it obvious? Isn't it obvious where we're all going? Your nightmarish vision of the future of Europe is obvious. It's obvious lies. And here's the evidence. Here's our vision. And the fact that it's all going to be wonderful is completely obvious. He has a set of arguments to tell us how it's going to be. The shining globalist vision of humanity waiting just beyond the horizon. Why didn't she present it? Because they don't believe in it anymore. They know it's ridiculous. The globalist establishment's just living hand to mouth now. They're lurching from one crisis to the next, and it's just getting worse and worse. What they do more and more is look back to horrors of the past. Of course, World War II, when it all began especially. And on the one hand, they tell us, well, Europe was always, we've always been racist, but we've kind of got over that. And then out the other side of the mouth, they're saying, well, it's always been like this. We've always been a nation of immigrants. We've always been progressive. This is our core values. Rubbish. It's just all fluff. It's just all fart noise. It's just waffle. You're watching a woman, the Prime Minister of this country, stand there and say absolutely nothing. And they won't even attempt to put forward a positive vision of the future anymore. They've lost that. The globalists have lost that now. But something that I've noticed about cultural Marxism is that it was designed as a sort of trebuchet, as a cannon. It was designed to be an attack weapon, but they can't do defense. And this again, you saw it again with Theresa May and Donald Trump. She couldn't actually defend where we are now or where we're going in the future. She had to go back to the past. It's in other words, she didn't even try to counter, as I say, she didn't even try to counter Trump's point that where we are going out into the future is a nightmarish sort of dystopian hellscape. It's let's just think of the past. And well, at least we're not Nazis. Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. They call it progressive, but they're always stuck in 1946. They don't have a positive vision for the future, just a negation of the past. And Trump and populism offer only dark visions of the future, which is a little bit controversial to say, but it is so. And they are the critique of cultural Marxism. They're a counter critique. They're reactionary. So cultural Marxism can't defend itself and where it's led Europe, but at the same time, the sort of Trumpian populist civic nationalism, but it's teetering on the edge of going somewhere else. That's where all of these cultural battles are taking place now. It's where is all of this going to go? It's anti-Islam and anti-globalist and anti-political correctness. Again, it's anti and not pro anything, but that does need to happen. We do need a wrecking ball against the globalist consensus and morality. It does need to be destroyed and taken down, but it can't go on like that forever. What we need to do, in my opinion, is the true right ethno-nationalism needs to begin getting its act together to formulate a positive vision of the future and move us along on those grounds, because things are beginning to move quite fast. And I see the populist movement is kind of nihilistic. It doesn't have a kind of overarching intellectual or philosophical framework, and I think that's its weakness. It's again, if you think of the, there was a, I did an article a few years ago about the cultural Marxism, and in a way, this sort of populism is its sort of mirror, its sort of nemesis. But the cultural Marxism, especially, was like these great rail trains, the rail cannon trains they had in World War II, and you could fire a missile, projectile weapon from these gigantic trains that they had on tracks. And if you're on the receiving end of the shell, then by God, you're going to get punished. It's really going to hurt. But the train itself is almost defenseless and can be blown up really easily. And when you do that, you put the weapon out of commission. Populism is so we've got now this sort of populism and cultural Marxism firing against each other. But both, one of them is relying on the past, which despite the name is the sort of cultural Marxist globalism. And then the other one, populism, is going out into the future and to be fair, in the here and the now, the rapes, the killing, the casual violence, the displacement of Europeans, and the draconian hate speech laws are working against the people who promote them as well. Terrorism, these hordes of refugees swamping Europe, and on and on and on. The standard stuff that you'll see on Breitbart every day. Again, it has its place. It has its place, but there's something more that we need. Real nationalists need to be looking at it and taking notes and deciding, well, it's time to check out of this, because almost, I mean, populist nationalism and the greater bulk of all strands of nationalism today are primarily engaged in a counter critique. This is important and has to happen, but essentially it's also a negative philosophy, a negation of the current order without anything to replace it. Trump offers dark visions of what is to come, and he's right. The technocrats offer lies and misinformation, but neither offer a viable way out. I think the time is approaching when a deeper sense of purpose and meaning must be injected into the ever-growing populist movement. The time for a true European nationalism has arrived. That's what I'd noted down on this. And it's difficult to present a forward. But I mean, I was, a few weeks ago, I paid a visit to Durham Cathedral. Absolutely beautiful, stunning place. We don't build places like that anymore. We don't have the spiritual life. We don't have the, again, just to get back to the beats that I'm hitting in this video, we don't have a sense of where we've been, where we are, or where we're going. Durham Cathedral took 125 years to build. 125 years to build Durham Cathedral. Imagine that now, in this quick fix sort of 24-hour news cycle. That's 5 or 6 generations of people from that area building the cathedral. It says a lot about the perceptions of time, place, and being. It's the complete opposite of the dildo-waving insect people of the globalist establishment today. Those people are like motes of dust being blown around on the winds of history. Durham Cathedral is history. The men who built it stepped out of time in a way. They were of the place, they belonged to the place, and they were actively shaping the future of the place. And the key here is ethnic and belonging and being. It's, I mean, in a word, it's permanence. The permanent continuation of the ethnic and racial blood and soil. And the problem is, when you begin to think in these terms, it naturally means the final and permanent end of the entire liberal order, because then you're going to set things up to cast way out into the future. Instead of having Donald Trump's dark vision of the future, let's offer permanence. Let's offer, this is the way, it's permanence. It's safety and security forever. Whatever that takes, that is primary. How, what we have to do to get there is largely irrelevant. Because while we're doing it, there's going to be people trying to stop us, and we say, you can go. You get out, you leave. And at the same time, the entire culture will be changed to facilitate our well-being, not anybody else's. And again, within that cultural realm, you'll see the past, the present, and the future synchronizing around one people and one group. It's a beautiful vision, actually, I think. But for now, the populists and the idiot lefties, we had costumes parade around in the streets. They're just like these little insects, these motes of dust in history, just being blown around. They're absolutely rootless. They come from nowhere, they're going nowhere, they don't know where they are now. And I think a positive vision is permanence. And you need strength and everything that comes with that. So I think I'll leave that there. Thank you for watching, everybody, and I'll see you later.